repeat of kids. This is great.
All right. Well, yes, we're remembering Pastor Ray. He's away at a wedding. He has some relatives that are getting married. I don't think he's doing the ceremony, so he is away. So today we have me doing the sermon preparation, and Ray is very, very good to give lots of freedom. And so I ran a couple ideas of my ideas past him, and he sort of started turning purple, so I figured I'd better try to keep it at a relatively normal Christmas themed sermon. He didn't like some of my Pokemon themed sermons, so no. So we are going to have a traditional Christmas themed sermon today. If you guys want to open up the Bible, we're going to be starting out in Luke 2. If you guys are reading through the story of Jesus' birth, Luke is one of the books of the Bible that definitely covers some of our favorite parts out of it. Has the wise men coming in. We have the shepherds and angels out on the hill. So does anyone want to read today? If not, I can certainly read, but does anyone have a page number as well? 830. Thank you very much. And do you want to read? All right, do you want to stand up and read too? So everyone can hear you. All right, if you could read Luke 2 verses 8 through 18. Oh, oh. Chapter 2. Yep, verses 8 through 18. Thank you very much, Caleb. Nicely read. And that reminds me, Pastor Ray does still need readers for the Christmas Eve service. So if, as Caleb has demonstrated, I'm sure he's going to volunteer to go read because he is an excellent reader. But we do need some more readers. So if you'd be willing to read during the Christmas Eve service, please get in contact with Pastor Ray. So back to the sermon. The Advent season is the season of preparation. The angels have came and they've gave their news to the world, and so it came as a surprise to them. But for us, we have we've already read this, and so we have lots of preparation. We have a whole season called Advent that starts 4 Sundays before Christmas. I don't know how many of you might have any Advent wreaths at home. We have one over here that has the candles in it. You go and light one of the candles each Sunday. There, some people take the little decorations. They set up a light in the window. I know we have some of those around the church as well. There's lots of preparations that we have getting ready for Christmas. The whole season of Advent is preparing for God's arrival in the world. Now, he came 2,000 years ago. He was born, And so this is, we are looking into the past at what happened then, but we are also celebrating that today as, or well, celebrating that next week, and we're preparing for that today to get our hearts ready for God's arrival. As God is coming into the world, we have the brand new good news that was coming for thousands of years that had been prophesied, and yet finally, on that Christmas day, it came, and so we are still here today expecting God to come into our lives here on Christmas morning as we're remembering Christ's birth with us. Now, for us, we have a whole season of Advent that leads up to it. We have Christmas carols that started way too early. Most of them started before Thanksgiving. They really shouldn't start before Thanksgiving, but they do anyway. And so then we have stuff that after Thanksgiving, we have, you know, Macy's Day Parade. We have roughly 6 weeks almost of Christmas preparation, and at least I sort of get tired of the Christmas songs after a couple of weeks, and so by the time we get to about now, I'm like, okay, I've heard Joy to the World on the radio for the 45th time, and I could go back to my normal oldies station, and so normally I do. I switch that over. But for the shepherds, though, they did not have this time of preparation. For the Jews of the time, they had had the prophecies that had been going on since the time of King David, which was almost 1,000 years before Christ was actually born. They'd had these prophecies around forever. And for the most part, they were sort of ignored. They were set aside. Everyone kept them in mind and sort of had in mind, yes, someday the Messiah will come, and they had an expectation that someday he would come, and they look forward for that someday, but that someday tends to be a long ways off, and after a while, it sort of fades in importance. People, you know, start losing the original excitement of the declaration that the Savior is coming, and so these shepherds were fairly ordinary people. Shepherding was a common, everyday sort of activity back then. This is what people did for their livings. This would be our bus drivers. This would be our fast food workers. You know, all the standard professions of today. And so what we have are some people out on the fields. They're taking care of their sheep when suddenly an angel appears before them. Now, I love first thing that the angel said to them is, do not be afraid. I imagine the angels impressive looking figure, and the shepherds were not expecting this. They were there and they see the angel, and their first reaction is one of fear and awe. And so the angel, first things out of his mouth is like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. No heart attacks here. I have some great news for you guys. And so He tells the news, and then it gets even bigger. We have angels. We have whole hosts of angels singing and telling the good news before them. And at that point, we start, the angels give their huge declaration to the world that Christ has arrived. We'd had some angel appearances to Mary before. We'd had some appearances in a dream to Joseph. But we hadn't had the great, grand public declaration of the angels. And so this is what the shepherds got. They got the angels right there, and they went, let's go. If you look at what Caleb read, he's like, the shepherd said, all right, let's go and see this thing that God has done. So they left. It said they hurried off. Shepherds are supposed to be taking care of their sheep. But what it sounds like, they're like, okay, sheep, you guys can be on your own for at least a few hours. We are running to go see what happened. They're the classic kid waking up on Christmas morning, and they're running downstairs to see what they got. They got their presents. They're going to see what, you know, Santa brought them under the tree. And so they're excited. This is what the shepherds were doing. They're coming in. They're filled with excitement. And then not only that, after they go and see the Jesus who was born there in the manger, they then go around and they start telling everyone. This is the shepherd's reaction to the angel's news that, oh my goodness, this has finally happened. 1,000 years of waiting has finally come, and we can see the promised child right here. And they go out and tell everyone. That's a certain part of what our reaction should still be today. Now, we are still normal people, and so just like the shepherds were on their hill back then, they were just doing their regular duties. They were just doing their regular stuff. And yet, that was 1,000 years that they had been waiting for this. They'd lost some of the excitement. A lot of times here in a church, we tend to watch, church. We come to church. We watch the person preaching up front, whether it's me or Pastor Ray most of the time. Sit around. We sing the songs. Most of the songs we're fairly familiar with, especially here at Christmas time. We've sung these before. I enjoy singing the Christmas songs. I haven't gotten tired of singing the Christmas songs yet, just listening to them on the radio. But I still enjoy singing the Christmas songs. But still, there's a lot of times this upwelling of joy and excitement over the good news is missing from our lives today, because we have had 2,000 years of familiarity with the story of Christ. And so we tend to lose some of that old excitement. Perhaps when you first became a Christian, some of that brand new excitement. Oh my goodness, what has God done for me? This is amazing. God has transformed my life. And then over time, it tends to fade and we get used to it. And that's normal human reaction. And so one of the things we should be looking at is when the angels appeared to the shepherds, we can look at that and we can be reminded, what has God done for us? That is an amazing thing. We overlook this sometimes, but this is what it is. This is a reminder. The angels came, they gave their good news and gave us this reminder. We may not necessarily have all the over-the-top reactions of the kid, coming down seeing his Christmas presents there, but still, this is something that is a great news for us, and we should be going out and telling the world about what we have seen. The next time, though, the angels appeared to lots of people. We actually had Jesus who was out in the desert, and a couple angels came and took care of him, but that wasn't a public announcement of the angels. Next time we had was actually Mary at the tomb. And once again, though, this is not a particularly public thing, but the angel comes along and tells her that Jesus is not here. He is risen. And so they see the angels there, but once again, the angels don't really do a whole lot. Finally, the angels don't show up again until the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry here. Jesus, at this point, has risen from the dead. He is walking around, and he is going out and preaching to all of the disciples. They are going around, and he is traveling all over the area, teaching to lots of people, but especially to his disciples. He's spending time with them, and the book of Acts continues the story. It's in Acts 1, and Jesus took the disciples out to the Mount of Olives, and they're out there having a meal, and Jesus is giving them some of his last-minute instructions. He gives them the news that, go wait for me in Jerusalem. I am going to send you the helper who is going to come help take care of you, and he will give you power. And they ask, when are you going to return? And so Jesus gives them these last-minute instructions, and then he rises. He has the ascension is the term for it. He rises into the air, and he disappears out of their sight, and he is no more. He is finished with his work here on earth, with his earthly body here. He's all done with that, and so he's risen to the sky, and the disciples are standing around looking up at the sky. And the Bible doesn't give a clear picture of exactly how long they stayed there, but it was long enough that a couple angels showed up once again. These angels didn't show up with the huge fanfare of the first angels in Jesus' life. They showed up, Bible says, and suddenly two men appeared next to them. Now, I like to think of this as the disciples are all, you know, Jesus has risen up one last miracle. He's risen into the sky and he's disappeared. And they're all looking up where he came from and like, okay, what do we do now? Well, okay, we're all gathered around here. What do we do? We're all looking up at the sky. And suddenly someone comes, you know, Peter feels the tap on his shoulder. He jumps, looks around. And there's two men standing there. The Bible just describes this. Suddenly two men appeared to them and said, Jesus, who you saw rise into the sky, is going to return in the same way. What are you guys still doing here? And with that, the disciples returned. The angels came and gave this last word to them at the to finish up what was started way at the Christ's birth is now getting wrapped up with Christ's ascension, and the angels come along and give that last message to them. Why are you still standing around here, gazing into the sky? Don't you know that just in the same way that you saw him leave, that someday he will return? Now go, return to Jerusalem. And so they do that. The angels were there as the apostles, the disciples were standing around looking at the sky. They needed something to help move them along. The angels came and they gave some reassurance to them and said, don't lose hope. Yes, Jesus, your rabbi, your teacher, even though he has left you, this is not lasting forever. In the same way that you saw him rise, he is going to return. And so they provide the reassurances to people. A lot of times our reactions might tend to mirror the disciples' reactions here. You know, we don't always have the huge excitement of the shepherds on the hill, but we have the disciples' reactions. We're at church and we're sort of twiddling our thumbs, going through the regular motions of everyday church life. And so we get to the everyday life that just humdrums along, and sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we start losing hope. One of the rather sad things about Christmas time is that Christmas time has a lot more suicide attempts and a lot more suicides because, or one of the reasons, is that people are losing hope. As they see everyone around them filled with cheer and light, and yet they aren't feeling that, and so they begin to lose hope. They're like, all right, everyone else is like this. What's wrong with me? And so you have a lot of depression, unfortunately, around the Christmas holidays. And so the angels have come with this second instruction to us that we are here, we have hope, continue to have hope. Jesus has left for now, but he is returning. He is coming back. Now go and get ready and follow Jesus' instructions. And what were Jesus' instructions here? They were to go, wait for the power that is going to come to you, the Holy Spirit, and then I will send you out and you will teach to the farthest corners of the world. And so as we get to our reactions here, you know, what are our reactions? We get to see both the original angels' declaration to the shepherds, and we get to see the angels' declarations to the disciples who need the encouragement. And so as we go around through this Christmas time, we are here to give that encouragement as well. We have both the excitement. A lot of times as a church, we lose our excitement. And yet also we get through here, and sometimes we need that encouragement as well. So the angels tell us, all right, remember, this is some great news. There's still some excitement here that we need to be going out and remember, this is Christ, God, who came to earth. Christ came to earth, the God who made the cosmos, God who made earth. Earth is, as big as we think the earth is here. Once you start looking at the scale of the solar system, it's this tiny little pebble circling around a huge sun. And once you look at the galaxy, even that huge sun is nothing more than a tiny little dot of light. And once you start looking at the entire universe, our galaxy shrinks down so small in scale that basically you can't even see it anymore. And yet, the God who made all of that loves us and cared enough for us that he came and visited this tiny little speck of dirt and he loves us and is coming to us. God has remembered us. This is some great news. We should not be feeling discouraged, or when we do feel discouraged, we can look at this and remember God, out of all the cosmos, the billions of galaxies and the billions of stars in every galaxy, God remembered us. He came to us. And so the God who loves us so much that he gave his one and only son, John 3:16, God so loved our little world here that he came. He himself came. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him doesn't no longer needs to perish but has eternal life. You know, this is the good news that we are out to spread the world, to spread to the world. And so when we're going through Christmas, we have sort of the bookends of the Christmas or of the angels' declarations here. We have the original Christmas declaration at the introduction. Christ has been born into the world, and he's been introduced, and there is great excitement here. And then we go through life, and as our lives go up and down, we have our times of excitement and remembering what Christ has done for us, what Christ is here, what this means. That's certainly a time of excitement. And yet also we have these times where we need a little bit of encouragement. We get to the Christmas season. It tends to be sort of dark and overcast, a lot of gray out there. And we, especially, you know, anyone has seasonal affective disorder, you really like your sunlight, and winter comes along. You don't have a lot of sunlight, and you start feeling down. God is here for that, too. He is giving us this reminder that Christ, who ascended and we no longer see, he is left, we no longer see him right here with us. Christ will return one day, and he will come back. And so, if you want to hit the next slide. So, whether you are the type of person who is really excited about this. I mean, you started out your Christmas decoration back in July. You have got your Christmas ornaments all set up, and as soon as you thought you could get away with it, you started stringing the lights. You started setting up the decorations. You know, ISS, the International Space Station, up there. You know, passing over. So, oh, getting towards Christmas time. I see the Templeton House down there. You know, whether you're that type, or if you're a little bit on the other side, you're like, oh boy, here's Christmas. We got to go spend time with crazy Aunt Maureen, and who knows what's going to come out of her mouth this Christmas. Oh boy. You know, there's a huge range of expectations for Christmas. You know, there's lots of stuff here. And thanks. And so either way here, God gives us some bookends through the angels' declarations here. God gives us both the cheer, it's like remind you of the excitement of what has happened, or he gives you the encouragement here. But either way, no matter what God has given you here, the angels gave both here. God gave us both sides. And so no matter which it is, whether it's the excitement that you need or the encouragement that you need, God has given us the same instruction. God's given us the exact same instruction. No matter what we do, whether we're excited about it, we're bouncing off the walls waiting for Christmas, or whether we are sort of dreading Christmas and we need some encouragement to make our way through it, God has still given us the exact same instruction. Go tell it on the mountain. I'm really glad that they picked that song to sing today. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, good. We got some... I can't do the conductor thingy. And so either way, no matter how we do, the angels gave us this news, and we have the same set of instructions. We are out to go spread the news. The shepherds out on the hill, they heard this news. They left their flocks where they were, and they hurried out to find Jesus. And once they had found Jesus, they started spreading the word everywhere they went. This is what we should be like. The good news of Jesus arriving here on earth. You can go out and tell people, guess what? God arrived here on earth, and in a week from today, we are going to be celebrating the arrival of God, the creator of the cosmos, here on earth. And not only that, he arrived here on earth not just to visit and say hi, but he arrived here on earth to save us from all the things that we've messed up, our sins, all the things we've failed at. God is here to save us. This is some great news. And guess what? In a week, we are going to get to celebrate. Christmas morning, we are going to wake up and we are celebrating the day that God has arrived here on earth and saved us from everything. And then we also have the encouragement. Oh my goodness, especially around Christmas time, if we get feeling down, guess what? We have some encouragement here. Buddy, it looks like you're having a rough time. Don't worry. Here, I'm here for you. Here, let's go out. Let's go talk. Let's go grab some coffee. Let's go have lunch together. Guess what? We have some people who are getting together. How do you like to come on over? You know, Christmas Eve service, we have some good times that we have together. And come join with the community. You aren't alone. Christ, who is not with us right now, is returning. We have the encouragement that we are still ordered to spread. That encouragement that Christ is returning. Christ came at one end, and then at the other end, he's returning. Someday he's going to come back, and we have this great news to share as well for those who are in need of encouragement. So if you're shy about telling people, I know that this is, especially with when I'm teaching the Sunday school and the youth group, trying to get any of the students to go out and tell people, oh my goodness, you know, this is the hardest thing in the world, to go tell someone about Jesus or anything like that. So, you know, we, as a church, one of the things we can do is we try to make it easy. And so we have our Christmas Eve service. You don't have to go tell everyone and give the gospel presentation yourself. Guess what? This Saturday night, coming up in 6 days from now, if you can invite someone to Christmas Eve service, we'll be giving the Christmas presentation for you. That's a gospel presentation that Christ is coming. So if you're shy and you don't know about that, guess what? We've got Saturday evening. Invite people along, and you know we'll do the telling for you. Or Christmas morning, if people say, oh, I don't know about going to church, you know, that sounds like a lot of work on Christmas morning. Well, we're making it easy. If you got kids, the big part of getting out in the morning is getting those kids ready for church. You know, for the adults, not so tough. You know, we slap something on and, you know, it doesn't take us too long. It's the kids that we're going around chasing. Oh, go brush your teeth. Oh my goodness, really go brush your teeth. You know, brush your hair. Yeah, get dressed. Where's your other sock? Where's your other shoe? Okay, who's seen Timmy's shoe? You know, we're chasing the kids around, you know, trying to get them ready for church. And that's a big part of the, you know, getting ready for church. And so we'll make it easy, especially this Christmas morning. We have presents. Kids are excited about that. And you don't want to go chasing them around, trying to get them ready. We've got our church service that's bring the kids in their PJs. Who cares? You know, stick some shoes on their feet. They don't need any socks. Just bring them in here. And Pastor Ray is going to have a presentation, especially for the kids. You know, so come on in. You got some crazy PJs. You know, some Nayeli, I know, has, or Jaylene has some fantastic PJs. It's a unicorn. It's absolutely epic. So I'm hoping she'll, actually, you'll be out in California. But, you know, she wore that, and it was absolutely fantastic. Bring the kids in those PJs. If you've got trouble spreading the good news yourself, we've got lots of stuff to help spread that good news for you. If you know, feeling shy about telling people. Now, some of you guys aren't shy at all. You're willing to tell someone at the drop of that. Fantastic. Keep doing that and invite them in. But for those who are a little bit shy, you know, they need a little bit of help. You know, our church has something that we can you know, do to help, and we've got lots of. If you know anyone who needs some help, you know, as in, you know, need some food, need some clothing, we just sent over umpteen coats to help take care of some kids. If you know of someone else who needs some help, needs some food, guess what? That's part of that encouragement. If they're having trouble, this is how you encourage people. So bring them on in. We got lots of food back in the pantry. If they need something more, they can. We have a whole benevolence team that we can help out with stuff. So bring them on in. But however, you know, we're doing it, you know, we can hear the angels on high, you know, on those silent nights, singing, you know, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so as, you know, I lay out the challenge to the Sunday school and the youth group that they're all, so parents, you can bug your kids about this because I've told all of them that they're supposed to have, you know, thinking of a list of at least 3 or 4 different names that they're going to go invite to Saturday night for the Christmas Eve service or Sunday morning. Now, I tell the kids, not everyone's going to accept. You know, a lot of people are going to be traveling, stuff like that. Maybe they're already doing stuff. But try to think of at least 3 or 4 people and then go out and invite those people in. We are following the good news that the angels brought. Come on, go see the baby that's been born. Come on, go spread the good news. If you need encouragement, I know a place that we got some great news to help encourage you. Come on in. So, if I can get the worship team to come on up, and as they're coming up, if I want to lay this out to everyone, for the adults. Try to think of, you know, 3-4 people that you can think of and say, all right, you know, it's not going to be that hard. Even if I'm shy and, you know, feeling a little bit nervous about this, I can at least invite someone to a Christmas Eve service. Say, hey, you know what? We got our church has a great Christmas Eve service. We have, you know, the lighting of the candles. You know, everyone gets to burn their hands on the wax. It's great. You know, this is great news. You can invite someone into that. And so, 3 or 4 people, this shouldn't be too hard, but 3 or 4 people, go out and ask someone and invite them in, spread the good news that the angels brought in. So, with that, God has some amazing grace that he has poured out for us. And God, we thank you for that grace. We thank you for the blessings you've poured out on us this season. We ask that you would inspire our hearts to go out and spread that good news, that the excitement of Christmas would well up in us, that we would go out and spread that news, that the reassurance that Christ is returning, after he has come and risen, that he is returning. And Lord, we have that good news, and we ask that you would give us the strength and the boldness to go out and share that. This Christmas season, I ask that you would pour out your blessing on church, on this church, that you would bless our times together, that our times with family, our times with friends will be filled with happiness and joy, that there be rest and recovery, that we would be able to rest in that amazing grace that you have for us, and that it would be a time of happiness, and that we would be the ones who would share that light with the world. That is, we light a candle, and that sheds light to be spread throughout the world, that we would be that light that is being spread around, that we would be the ones who give joy and happiness to all we meet. And so, Lord, we ask your provision for us, for our houses this Christmas, that there be no need and no want, and that we would be sharing those blessings and that overabundance all to all that we meet. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who came as a baby child, was born, died, and rose again. And we thank you for this wonderful news. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.